While waiting for last night's announcement in Moscow of the German surrender, people have had plenty of chance to recall an anecdote. Several months ago, Stalin was asked when the war would be over. "Don't worry," he replied. "Levitan will tell you." Levitan is a famous announcer with the Olympian voice who reads out the orders of the day over Moscow radio and the city's public address system. As early as Monday night, groups of university students went to the Red Square and stood in a drizzling rain waiting for the voice of Levitan. But nothing happened. At dusk yesterday, I saw a group of people at a bus stop huddled around an evening paper which had just come out. It carried a TASS dispatch from London, dated Monday, giving the full text of Admiral Dönitz's broadcast from German headquarters announcing the German surrender. This was the first indication published in Moscow. At almost the same time, Levitan came on the air to announce a salute for victories in Czechoslovakia. There were two more such announcements during the evening. Each time people thought, this is going to be the worst. But midnight Moscow time, the deadline for the ceasefire order, went by with only the normal military communique. Except for the night shifts in factories and a few faithful listeners in apartments, Moscow had turned in when 2 hours later, Levitan came back on the air. Lights came on again as the people of Moscow heard him read out the story of the ceremony in Berlin. Today is Victory Day, henceforth a new holiday in the Soviet calendar. Public buildings are bedecked with flags again, standing out bravely in a cold wind, but the sun is bright. This morning in the Red Square, I saw people queuing up spontaneously, just as they used to before the war, to see Lenin in his granite tomb. It has been closed since the beginning of the war, but somehow people feel sure it will be open soon. Householders have been warned that there will be a special victory salute and to be sure to open their windows when it begins. More guns are being moved into position through the streets to swell the previous maximum of 324 guns. That's the news picture in Moscow.
You've been listening to Farnsworth Powell speaking from Moscow for the Columbia Broadcasting System. Hello, NBC. I'm calling you for Robert Magidoff. Robert Magidoff begins at exactly 10 minutes past the hour of Moscow time. I'm calling NBC for Robert Magidoff. Hello, NBC. Robert Magidoff begins at 10 minutes past the hour of Moscow time. Robert Magidoff will be followed by Raymond Arthur Davies, who speaks for the Mutual Broadcasting System. Hello, NBC. I'm calling you for the last time. Robert Magidoff begins in exactly 15 seconds from now.
This is Robert Magidoff speaking from Moscow. This is Victory Day in Russia. Today, the Soviet Union is with her allies in the celebrations of the joint complete victory over Hitler's Reich. The document signed by the Germans in Soviet-occupied Berlin gives the Russians the satisfaction of knowing that the Germans will never be able to deny their defeat and unconditional surrender to the Red Army, as well as to the rest of the United Nations. This knowledge intensifies the spirit of rejoicing and pride that's sweeping the country. Even the god of weather is smiling upon the Russians today. After a week-long rainy spell, the sun came out this morning and is looking benevolently upon the excited crowd. On the flags of triumph in every building, on the huge portraits of the Soviet leaders displayed at every turn, and on the slogans hailing this day of victory, hailing the Red Army and the Anglo-American Armed Forces, and, of course, Marshal Stalin. Alexius, Patriarch of Moscow and all Russia, has ordered all the churches to hold the Thanksgiving services, and the Patriarch himself is expected to conduct service at Moscow's resplendent Yelokovsky Cathedral. Crowds of believers have started congregating in front of Moscow's churches early this morning, eager to kneel before the icons and pray for the living and the dead. Other crowds kept queuing up in front of stores long before they opened to purchase drinks and sweets for the innumerable parties that will be held today in the capital. The rejoicing of this day of days for which the people of Russia have fought and toiled with such self-sacrifice and skill for 1,415 days is expected to culminate tonight in what promises to be the most magnificently staged salute the world has ever seen. And now I return you to the NBC newsroom in New York.
You've been listening to Robert Magadov speaking from Moscow for the National Broadcasting Company. Hello, Mutual Broadcasting System. Raymond Arthur Davis begins in exactly 45 seconds from now. I'm calling the Mutual Broadcasting System for Raymond Arthur Davies, who speaks for the Canadian Broadcasting Company. This is Radio Center Moscow calling the Mutual Broadcasting System. I'm calling you for Raymond Arthur Davies, who speaks for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Raymond Arthur Davies begins in exactly 15 seconds from now.
This is Raymond Arthur Davies, Mutual War Correspondent, speaking from victorious Moscow. Joy and gaiety have returned to Moscow today. Victory, victory, pobeda is the word heard in the streets, headline in the papers, thundering from the loudspeakers in the huge square. Victory. In Red Square at 4 o'clock in the morning, people sang and danced as they listened to the news of the historic capitulation. Youngsters poured into the streets at daybreak. Thousands stood in line for hours waiting for the newspapers. Each billboard became a meeting place with hundreds fighting for a place for which to read the one used word, victory, capitulation, holiday. As I speak, hundreds of thousands are streaming towards the Red Square from all parts of the city. Masses of people stand in front of the American embassy, cheering and hailing every passing American in uniform. Every minute, more and more red appears in the streets, and it seems as if all of Moscow will be in the center within an hour or two to cheer victory and their leader, Marshal Stalin. Long has Moscow waited for this day, but its celebration is somehow not like the reported celebrations of victory in London, in Paris, in New York. There are no delirious crowds here. People do not jam the nightclubs, do not shout, and do not yell. People are more somber even in their happiness, for they cannot forget the price they have paid for victory. They cannot forget the millions dead and wounded. They cannot forget Majdanek, Babi Yar, Osvencim, Kluga. They cannot forget, so I was told by the famous Shakespearean actor Mikhail, who visited America 2 years ago, that the capitulation of German generals does not of itself mean the end of fascism. In their joy, the Russians are proud as never before. Read what the newspaper Pravda says today. In the German capital conquered by Soviet warriors in Berlin, Marshal of the Soviet Union Zhukov and delegates of the Allied Expeditionary Forces dictated to the German High Command their conditions for capitulation. We are proud that to the Red Army, to our whole people, Pravda continues, belongs the main, the decisive role in the destruction of the German fascist bandits. The peoples of the world know to whom they are obliged for their rescue from extermination, from fascist slavery. Long live our motherland. May she blossom among the peoples of the world, be the bulwark of their freedom and independence. This is what the Russians say today, but already their eyes are turned towards tomorrow. The problem is not only to win victory, Pravda and the other newspapers advise the nation, but also to make impossible the rise of new aggression and new war, if not for always, then at least for a long period of time. To the time of this broadcast, Marshal Stalin has not yet spoken. That he will eventually have his say about victory is obvious, and as soon as his address is delivered, this correspondent will be on the air again. But meanwhile, Moscow millions walk about the Kremlin and look hopefully towards its gabled windows in the hope of catching a glimpse of their leader. Even yesterday morning, rumors spread that he might appear, and in the dark, thousands rush toward the square. Thus, victory has come to Russia. The Russians are told that the capitulation of the enemy does not bring rest and relaxation, but must call forth still more intensive efforts to rebuild, reconstruct, get on the rails, improve, advance. And in the streets, the whole of celebrating Moscow seems to be eating ice cream, and in the homes drinking up the stocks of vodka and champagne. The churches are jammed, and people come and go as though there have as yet been no services. This is Raymond Arthur Davies speaking from Moscow, and I'll return you to Mutual in the United States.
You've been listening to Raymond Arthur Davies speaking from Moscow for the Mutual Broadcasting System.